sorry, hold on a sec. I'll just give me a second.
No, it's fine. We're boring you.
Yeah. No, I just have to. Sorry, I've just got a fucking work thing.
Unless someone's dead, Raghu.
Raghu, it's a Sunday. Why have you not thrown your work phone into the sea?
I just had to send a work email. No one asked me about my job. We'll save that.
I've got it written as a point to talk about right underneath piss into a cup.
The only things going on in your life.
No, sorry, my fault. I've just become really efficient because I'm sober now.
Oh, you're doing dry Jan?
No, I did very wet Jan, so my liver started.
It's February.
Oh, yeah.
Now that I'm in my sober era, it's over for you bitches. Hello and welcome to Butterflies on the Wheel, where life's array of unsung bastards are finally held accountable for their actions. Each week, two of us will battle it out by presenting a real-life person they've encountered who has been guilty of some form of mild shithousery. They will conclude by proposing a fitting punishment to the moderator. This week, that's me. Is it moderator or judge?
Judge.
They will conclude by proposing a fitting punishment to the judge. This week, that's me. The moderator will then decide...
I really thought you were going to pick it up.
They will conclude by proposing a fitting punishment to the judge. This week, that's me. The judge will then decide who has presented the most convincing case, and the winner will have the right to compete again in next week's podcast. The offenses we report here are all the more criminal because they are not recognized as crimes. But that stops with us. My name is Raghu Keshavan, and I'm joined by two experts in the field of voodoo doll making. Jack Gardner.
That was brilliant. Yeah, thank you. Yes, hi.
And Sebastian Hendra.
Hello, yes, welcome to me.
Did I say voodoo doll making okay, or did I say voodoo doodoo baby cake?
You said it incredibly. I don't know if it was necessarily all the words and the letters in the right order.
I think wallowing in their own self-righteousness is also good, but I'd already said too many words.
That's not an internal thought that the majority of us on this podcast have.
I know. I'm usually the most talkative person in any group of people that I am currently with, but I'm put to shame by your loquaciousness.
I think the word is...
loquacious.
I don't know how to say that one, actually.
I think it's loquacity, not loquaciousness.
Ooh. As a remarkable coincidence, I've got the word loquacious in my story this week.
Wow, remarkable. Let's talk more about it.
There's been a minor transgression. Incredibly minor. A social-based indiscretion. Slightly embarrassing. A crime that needs no confession. Nonetheless. This call is in session.
The rules are simple. 1. No more than 3 minutes for opening arguments. 2. The crime must be trivial. Leave the Elon Musks and the Chinese spy balloons to the actual courts and the big guy upstairs. And 3. The punishment must fit the crime.
Ironically, the Chinese spy balloons are getting pretty close to the big guy upstairs. Closer, in fact. Not as close as Elon Musk.
No, they got shot down. They're at the bottom of the ocean.
They are with the big guy upstairs.
Wait, so what? I didn't even read the story. I just laughed out loud. I LOL'd at the headline. They were like remote spy balloons, right? Like nothing, no one in them.
No. Yeah, I just cannot believe how big of a story it's been. Like, it's just... It's so much like an "and finally" story, and of course because it's in
what
America,
is that?
It's like, you know, like sort of like, and finally at the zoo today, Poo Poo the panda came up and gave the kids a big surprise.
I either never watched the news up to that point, or that's not a thing that happens outside of like American films about news anchors.
No, I feel like it used to be a thing, but that's exactly what I saw the headline and I was just like. What is the point of civilization? Like, is this what we're all doing now? But actually, I feel like, you know how we were talking last week about how like sports is a way for straight men to get their anger out, like mm-hmm. in a safe place. I feel like we should just encourage robo warfare. Like, just let all of the people like battle it out over the Pacific Ocean with their robot armies, yeah. rather than like actual people having to die. I feel like
My main concern with that is that that sounds like the argument of a robot that has taken over Sebastian's body.
Like what, a suicidal robot? How does that make sense?
No, just sort of like create more robots, guys. Just create robots and let us arm us to the death.
Let us blow each other up. No, I'm not buying it.
They're not actually going to blow each other up. That's their cover story.
Robots, yeah, and robots don't care about the sanctity of robot life because they can always make more. They're just asking for an increase. Okay, this has gone too far.
Well, you seem to know a lot about this.
All right. Is someone going to do a fucking toin toss?
Yeah. No, I've got the thing that we're going to toin toss. This is part of a picture frame that I'm building. There is a flat side and there is a, I don't know if you can see it. Can you see it? Yeah.
Ridge. That is a good ridge.
So do you guys
Ragu is sober and suddenly he's a fucking carpenter? What the hell is going on?
I actually did most of my carpentry while I was drunk.
Same. It's good fun. I woke up one morning and I went next door and then there were bookshelves. I was like, oh my God.
You won last week, Sebastian. Do you want the ridged bit or the flat bit?
I'm feeling spicy, so let's do the ridged bit.
Okay, I'm going to chuck it on my bed. It is the ridged bit.
Okay. Oh my God, what am I going to do? I feel like Jack's really excited to do his story. I'll go first. Okay, I'd like to start by saying that my name is Sebastian Hernda, and as everyone seems to love to talk about on this podcast week after week, I am a single gay man, which is important background because in the year 2022, actually almost a year today, on a dark February night that may or may not have been Valentine's Day, I decided that I would do the only thing a privileged little prick like me ever does to get out of a bind: spend more money. And after literally minutes of thinking about it, I decided I would finally give the people inside my head what they've been wanting. If I could not find love, I would buy it. Slowly, erotically, I typed the search query into Google: hot young puppies near me. Pretty instantly, I discovered the love of my life, an 8-week-old miniature dachshund who had all the sprightly spunk of a puppy her age, combined with the wisdom of a supernatural creature hundreds of years her senior. She had one blue eye, one brown, her gaze forever fixed on heaven and hell, as one psychotic but highly poetic woman in the park once put it to me. She was, as I say, the love of my life to date. She is so stupid looking, so incredibly dummy. But after breastfeeding her myself and teaching her to read and write, I can safely say she is also one of the cleverest beasts ever to walk this earth. Her name is Sappho, after the ancient Greek poetess who basically invented being a lesbian and writing sad songs about it. Move over, Phoebe Bridgers. Sappy, as we call her, is no great poet. I mean, her poetry is obviously good. It's just never going to be great. But like all animals, her greatest virtue is that she never talks back. And I know that she can talk, but she is unfailingly silent in my presence, which only magnifies my love for her to the point that I find myself having full-blown conversations, impersonating her voice for her, and then responding in my normal human voice, or some sickly version of it. Like, you know, I feel like I actually learned from your voice, Jack, do your dog voice that you do.
Oh, hello, lolly, kissy, cuddle, mama. Gonna give a lolly, kissy, cuddle, lolly, stroke his little
butt. And scene. Love you. Okay, so it's like you can't not do it. It's just so hard. But here's the problem. As a middle-aged gay man, 31 is 52 in gay years, I have started to fear that I might turn into that universally reviled figure, the dog person, with a capital D and a capital P. You know there are dog people. We're all dog, like everyone in the world is a dog person, except psychos who care about whether cats live or die. It is a human default to like dogs. Everybody likes dogs, but there are dog people, dog lovers, maybe is more accurate, who turn this natural human affection for the canine into a revolting, unseemly, slime-covered obsession. They're the ones who stick their tongues halfway down their dog's throats. They're the ones having full adult conversations with their pets without even impersonating their responses. They're the ones who demand that their dogs dine exclusively on human-grade china and get married in little tulle outfits and Swarovski tiaras. They are human garbage. Now, I would do a lot for my dog. She deserves my support in everything she does. For example, she's currently applying to a PhD program in psychology at Pace University. I would even pay exorbitant sums for her to travel the world with me, which is exactly what I did this past summer when I took her into the vet in order to secure an international pet passport, which is unbelievably a real thing. And also the biggest fucking scam in the world, by the way. I could carry Safi in my fucking jock strap if I wanted to. How dare they make me pay for her to officially enter and exit a country or board an aircraft? Anywhere would be lucky to have her. But I digress.
Can I just ask at this point, have you ever carried her in your dog strap?
No comment.
Okay, noted.
Pet passports are a real crime, not a trivial one, and so I will not be focusing on them today. No, the trivial crime I'd like to put before the jurors of this very real court is this. I get to this vet. It's summer, it's sweltering outside. Safi and I are thirsty, bored, and tired of this absurdly expensive rigmarole. We're not even speaking to each other. That's how over it we are. I check in with the actually very lovely receptionist. I feel totally safe in her hands. She knows what she's doing. I start to calm down a bit. I go over the waiting area, and to my left, there's a totally gorgeous male dog sitting quietly. And of course, as soon as Safi approaches, she does her typical shtick of going apeshit for the attention of another dog. She takes after me like that. And the owner quickly has to subdue him because he's kind of big. Maybe he's violent, who knows? And I've seen owners do all sorts of crazy shit to their dogs, but this was truly a first for me. The guy grabs the dog's face and holds it in front of his, going, shh, shh, baby, shh, it's okay. Don't worry, baby, which is okay. That's normal. But he's petting the dog like it's having a fucking seizure or something. And Safi has, by this point, completely lost interest. The dog is clearly not her intellectual equal. But the guy will not stop. He just keeps talking in this low, almost whisper, definitely erotic or maybe murderous voice. That's right, baby. That's good. Calm. Ooh. Yes. Ooh. Daddy's going to take you home. We're going to watch a movie. Yes. Yes. Daddy took off work today. Yes, baby. Yes. Don't cry. Don't cry, baby. No, don't cry. Daddy's going to take you home and we're going to watch a movie together. I love you so much. I love you. I love you. You're daddy's best friend. Yes, you are. I love you. I love you so much. I love you. The dog's face is millimeters from his while all this is happening in public. And it's just me and the receptionist in the waiting room, but he is fully about to fuck his dog on the floor of this vet. And Safi and I are just slowly creeping away before he asks us to join the lovemaking. And this is a trivial crime. These dog owners who act so insane with their dogs in public, who act like they have to let the whole world know that they are dog people with a capital DP, it gives us all a bad name. All of us humans who are normal and adore dogs, except the ugly ones, obviously. And it makes me feel crazy anytime I'm snuggling with my lady Safferton and listening to her explain her PhD proposal while I stroke her belly and do the kisses on her belly. I am normal. Doing that is normal. This other guy was not normal. And so for the trivial crime of shooting his love load all over me and my girlfriend slash dog, causing me to question if I too am a psychotic dog person with a capital DP, I condemn this man before the judge, jury, in this very real court. Thank you very much.
Can I just say, I actually really liked it.
That's really funny because that's what I was going to say.
That was 3 minutes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just over. Just
more on that later. First of all, did he really say daddy?
Guys, as soon as this started, I whipped out my phone. I went to my butterflies on the wheel note in my notes app and I started taking it down. What you heard is verbatim what came out of his mouth. It was so crazy. He was like a big guy. Like he was maybe like 6'2 or something, like stacked guy. And he's like literally, you know, and he was acting like the dog was having a seizure, like epileptic or something. It was just crazy.
Jesus Christ. I would have left. I would have stood up and left.
I think the most alarming bit was when you said it was only you and the receptionist in that room with him, because that's intimate.
Yeah, that is. Was he maybe making a pass at you or the receptionist? Was he trying to show daddy's like how caring daddy is?
I don't think he's missing any love or sex in his life based on the interaction that he had with his dog. But no, it was like a really modern vet. So it's actually quite a big space. And it's just like, which made it even weirder because it's like his little, you know, love nest, us right next, me and Safi right next to him. And then the receptionist like 10, 20 feet away. The emotional feng shui was just very difficult to navigate.
What kind of dog did he have?
I think it was like a large like pit bull. Like it was also like a mean looking dog. So that also made it confusing because it was like, obviously these are two, you know, human men in a relationship.
Actually, part of me now finds that whole scene a bit funnier now. Like if it was like a fucking Rottweiler and just like a terrified dog with like a spiked collar, like called Butch or something. And then they're
They came off. They read as very Butch.
Did he actually say we'll go watch a movie?
He said I took the day off so that we can watch a movie together. We're gonna go watch a movie, baby.
Wow.
You know, he said so many times that, well, at whichever dinner parties he gets invited to, Butch loves movies. No. No, he doesn't. He's a dog. He cares really, really. And I've met Sappho. She is a charming little bitch.
Thank you. Thank you.
She takes after her father. But you can break down their impulses to food. And I'm sure there's something else in there. It certainly isn't movies.
Well, food and, in Safi's case, PhDs. But she does see... I feel like she does have, like, little chores in her mind that she has to do every day. Like, we get up and she immediately runs to, like, her little piece of rope, plays with that for a while, then moves it to a spot. Yeah. And then she, like, goes and finds the stuffed flamingo, tears at its neck for a while. Yeah. Like, she has stuff to do.
And
her day
then
is full.
Watches the Marvel Cinematic Universe in chronology. Chronological order.
In chronology, yeah.
In chronology.
Anyway, it's fucking crazy. It's so alienating, like, to be in front of adult people doing that. Like, children don't do that. Children don't behave like that.
They do the silly voice.
It's a performance. I mean,
they do the voice, but
yeah, but the
I
voice
have
is not
seen...
a performance. The voice, like, you're overcome with like love, so you do the silly voice because
exactly. Exactly.
The voice is a normal reaction to just being in front of a dog.
Yeah. We're
normal. Talking to them in the sort of the human love voice, which is pretty bad when you do it with other humans in front of other people.
Oh God, I hate it so much. That's another episode.
But I think it's just performative and that's ugly.
I think this for me is the final nail in the coffin for this guy, is that it was performative because I got from the impression of the story, my impression of the story was the dog wasn't particularly calmed by the man's actions. The dog seemed, am I right in thinking, ambivalent?
No, the dog was like, the dog was never that agitated. That's what was so weird about it. It's Safi was agitated, and then he, as a, like, preemptive measure, went to, like, calm his dog down in case they got, you know, all riled up. Mm-hmm. But then he continued when the dog was sitting quite calmly, and just listening to this outpouring of filth.
Yeah.
But no, and like to be perfectly honest, this is a safe space. I do speak to my dog in a regular voice and tell her how much I love her, but I do it under the covers in my bedroom where no one can hear me for miles and miles. Like there's a code, you know.
Yeah.
And this guy's he's a code breaker. He's an oath breaker and a code breaker, and he should be shot.
It's like masturbation. We all do it, just not in public.
Well,
punishments are later, Jack.
One person stopped talking, and the only problem is another person's gonna talk now. We've got to listen to that shit. The time is fast approaching when the second story comes. Will it be better written or equally dumb?
Thank you for that, Councillor Hendra.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it was good. Well done.
No dramas.
Good job today. Jack, can we have your story, please?
Okay, so yeah, I am excited to tell my story, actually. So, as you know, I was in Iceland recently, right? And Rebecca and I were at this national park, and we were in this national park, and there was like this sign on the side of the thing asking for like giving information out, and so I sort of was like, because the text was quite small, so I was sort of leaning in and I was leaning in and then as I sort of stepped back away from it, like a woman was like, she had leaned in to see and she was looking at it, but I stepped back and I stepped into her and it, I can't do this. I'm sorry.
What's wrong?
I can't do this anymore. I can't sit here in front of you, Sebastian and Raghu, and put this woman on trial for something so accidental compared to, you know, I've really been doing some thinking since we last recorded. What was it, like a month and a bit ago? Like, every time I get an idea for a trivial criminal, I just can't stop thinking that I'll be writing up some really unfair nonsense about someone and presenting them to you, Sebastian and Raghu. This person who maybe made a mistake, had a bad day, or was just so unintentional in maybe crossing some kind of rule we set for society. And then I have to present it to you, Sebastian. You, Sebastian, who so brazenly flouts the simplest of rules, so violently, so deliberately demolishes a pact we three made long ago. The rule to not go over 3 minutes for opening arguments. You sit there, sir, in your throne of arrogance, your seat
go deeper,
of,
go deeper.
Your seat of deceit and tell stories of your gallivants in castles, eternal tales that last for literal eons, or 8 minutes, whichever is longer, 8 minutes or an eon. I haven't looked up what length of time an eon is. Do I mean eon? I've said it so, you know, I've kind of said it so many times now. Kind of forgotten the meaning of it. Do you ever get like that? Like, eon. Ion. But this is germane to my point. I know that I have been guilty of crossing this 3 minute boundary on several occasions. Even now, I've been talking for 2 minutes and 27 seconds, and I am not nearly finished in my blistering fratricidal attack. Yet the difference between you and I, young Sebastian, is that I have the common decency to at least attempt to edit down my scripture. In fact, I have edited this very sentence 3 times so as to make short. You, on the other hand, as you heartily regale us for 12 minutes straight without so much as a whisper of self-doubt, clearly feel that your work is too perfect to be cut, so brimming is it with comedic alchemy, so much more superior is it than mine or Raghu's contribution to this podcast. And while that is admittedly undoubtedly true, it kind of feels like you're rubbing it in when you cross the 17-minute mark yet again. But are you really the only criminal in this case? Alas, no. It is not only the spectre of you that has irked me so these last few weeks. It is I. I, who so foolishly, so hastily awarded you victory on last week's podcast, in a decision blinded by ignorance and the fact I had said to Rebecca I'd be finished recording 34 minutes before we finished because your story went on for 34 minutes. Your Honor, Raghu... My crime was to insult you with an ill-deserved loss. But that is not a trivial one. It is one I shall carry with me the rest of my days. I humbly beseech your forgiveness. But I also beseech that you definitely award this week to me and not the loquacious fool sat opposite me. I rest my case.
Wow. Thank you, Councillor Chris Hemsworth. I didn't really like how you ramped up.
Who the fuck do you think you are?
It really did sound like Thor.
It did sound like Thor. It almost got deep enough to be Thanos in the beginning, and I thought you were plunging vocally, but then you sort of stayed at your sort of girlish impersonation of a deep voice.
But does that happen to everybody? Like, anyone who goes to Copenhagen, do they become like Thor?
Well, we can smoke inside in our pubs, so yes.
You did mysteriously get blonde hair after moving to Copenhagen, too.
Yeah.
Nobody knows how that happened.
Yeah, but shut the fuck up about me, because we're really talking about you right now, buddy.
I just feel that after centuries of straight men silencing what can only be described as faggots, I cannot believe that I have to sit here and listen to your vitriol, to your incel bullshit about listening to my beautiful, melodious, homosexual stylings. It's just, it's out of this world. It's you've truly outdone yourself. You've outdone yourself today. This is a real crime, by the way. You are doing a real hate crime against me. You are doing that.
Well, that has no place in this podcast, so shut up.
No, I am glad you've taken this to this direction, because this is exactly what I was talking about. And that's exactly what I meant. It is entirely because you're gay. And I'm glad that you've managed to... I'm glad you've seen through the gimmicks.
I mean, I do feel that we have all been guilty of this. And if everybody does something, then it cannot be a crime. That is the first thing you learn in law school. So
I mean, I probably haven't.
Yeah, but that's because you don't write.
It still doesn't change the fact that I haven't.
True.
I guess the question is, like, who is suffering? You know, who is suffering here?
Yeah, it's a good question. If you wish to... Yeah, cool.
Do not interrupt me. the Why does that still make me laugh 5 years on? The audience is certainly not... Our audience has been growing at, I don't know, hundreds of new subscribers.
I've lost count, but I also can't count above 20.
And so, I mean, clearly they're not suffering. Our sponsors are not suffering because we keep getting requests.
All the time.
President Biden was on recently. I'm just wondering, like, who is the actual victim here? It seems like it's only you, which kind of means, well, I guess that does make it a trivial crime. Fuck, I've talked myself into a corner. Fuck.
I was going to say that the only other person that it would harm is the person doing the edits.
This was it. So when
I also Jack.
No, it's not. This is it.
Oh yeah, now it's Sebastian.
Last week it was Sebastian, and I had this idea, and I was thinking that I was going to edit it, and then Bash very kindly offered to edit it, and I was like, yes, absolutely, but also fuck, because this could have given my story so much more of a better spin. Right now, yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much you talk.
So it's a self crime. You've trivial crimed yourself, Sebastian.
Yeah, I am not doing the next one. Someone is fucking doing the next one. No, but I'm not doing a crime on me by having a long story and having to edit it, because obviously it is an absolute joy to listen to the sound of my own voice for 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever the case may be. It's when you guys come on that I'm like, oh God, this is taking forever.
Okay, excellent. I think that was very good. Good cross-examining, Sebastian. I think you both made a good case for yourself and then against yourself, which I quite enjoy.
Thank you. Your hair looks great today, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Big hair. Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Can we have some punishments, please? Sebastian, you can go first.
Okay, so my vision for this punishment, my concept is, do you know when in the Matrix when Agent Smith like takes over one of the people, like a normal person in the Matrix, and then they like become an agent or something and they go like they're, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so when this guy, let's call him Kevin, when Kevin is like in public somewhere where he's, you know, in a vulnerable space like the subway or the bagel shop, I would like to see, you know, some random bystander just undergo the Agent Smith transformation and just be taken over by this pathological need to break a code of human society. So, for example, he'll be on the subway. Kevin will be sitting down and someone will just walk by, drop their pants and sit on his lap, you know, or like he's like in the bagel shop waiting for his order, someone just walks by and punches his dog. Or like, so, you know, something just chill like that.
How is that chill?
And I mean, they're not killing the dog. So I think if that kind of punishment could just, you know, happen to him for, I don't know, a period of like 6 to 29 years, that is the trivial punishment I would prescribe for this trivial crime.
What the fuck? Okay, thanks.
Because he broke the code, you know? You know what I'm saying? That's the real crime here. Mm. He broke the code.
I mean, that stopped short of being totally incoherent, but okay.
Okay. Well, as I said, your hair looks great today.
it's not going to work. Jack, can we have your punishment?
Okay, so my punishment is that for the next time we record a podcast episode together, Sebastian, you tell the most amazing story. It goes on for way longer than 3 minutes, but it doesn't matter because our sides are splitting. We're just in tears of laughter. There's improv in there. There's sort of like you take things in a direction that no one was expecting. And then when you send it over to me so that I can put it all into the file, there's a horrendous level of corruption of the files. A huge virus fucks your computer and your life. But most importantly of all, it consigns your story to the depths of... It consigns your story to... I'm going to kill myself. I think I'm actually going to fucking kill myself. But most importantly of all, we lose all but 3 minutes exactly of your story.
Brilliant. Wow.
I have to say my asshole was tightening for that entire sentencing. That is genuinely something that would terrify me.
Do you think that's what happens to all of the people that we put on trial here? That even if they don't know they've been put on trial, they just experience a sort of asshole puckering at random points in the day?
I always assumed that they experienced all of the punishments that we are devising for them somewhere.
I hope not, because there's probably a city in Russia which would have been sort of nuked by this point.
Yeah, well, we're getting there. If that happens, then we know that the people are listening to this podcast, some pretty fucking important people.
If that happens, then we have to stop making the voodoo dolls. okay.
Yeah, no, I really liked it.
Enough. Stop. Enough. I have reached a judgment. I know. I'm really like leaning into this judge thing in my sober era.
Very dumb. Very dumb of you.
I'm liking it.
Sebastian, I really liked your story. I especially liked how you distinguished between normal dog lovers and dog persons with a DP.
Crucial.
Because I think it's a hard distinction to make, and you made it really well. Unfortunately, your punishment was just this side of incoherent. So this week, I have to give it to Jack.
Yay!
What the fuck, dude?
Sebastian, I don't think... Are you coming back for the next podcast? You've had it both barrels this week.
I mean, since the beginning of this season, I just feel like Judge Kirschevern has it out for me. I give him blowjob after blowjob, and there's nothing. There's no slack.
Maybe work on your technique.
I mean, I didn't think it was that incoherent. I guess we'll ask the listeners.
I actually wasn't listening, so maybe that's why I didn't understand.
You know, like all good judges, I was asleep. you can do that on Spotify now. You can like ask people a question at the end of the podcast.
What? How do they respond? Like, do they get like a?
It's like a little interactive thing, and you like push a button or something. We should try it.
What could we? What could
20
we,
people?
Oh, who do they think won?
Oh,
ooh, yeah, that's fun. Pick your own ending.
Yeah, exactly. Choose your own adventure. Like, you choose your own shit adventure.
All right, that's all for this week. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Sebastian, for your stories. Please follow us on Instagram at Butterflies Podcast. Tell your catty housemates, tell your co-workers, tell your mum and dad. Don't tell your mum and dad.
Tell your dogs.
Tell your dogs.
Tell your dogs,
but
definitely.
Only in a stupid baby voice. If you tell them in a normal voice, we will know and we will hunt you down. Thanks, everyone.
Love you.
Thank you. Bye. Like, share, and subscribe. Bye.
Leave a review.
Leave a review. Bye.
5 stars only.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
5 stars.
Jesus Christ.